the member for Hammond, joins me in studio for an update on what's happening in the region and to respond to some recent discussions on SA Today. Thanks for coming in, Adrian Pederick.
Good morning, Jenny. Good morning, listeners.
Let's start with the news of the reopening of the copper mine in Kanmantoo. What can you tell us about this?
Oh, look, this is something I launched with the Deputy Premier, the Mining Minister, Dan Van Hulst-Pelican, on Friday with Lachlan Wallace and the team out there at Hillgrove Resources. It's the Komatsu MC51 continuous miner, and that's the only second one of its type and built in Australia, built in the eastern states, which is going to do underground mining inside the open pit. We went right down the bottom of the open pit to have a look and watching its development. It's just opening up the porthole basically as we speak, and that will cut various stopes and drifts down to the sector to mine copper, and there's traces of gold in that mine as well. So very exciting to see that going ahead the other day, and that's been assisted with a $2 million grant from our Marshall Liberal government. Mm-hmm. So pleasing to see more money going in supporting business and industry in my electorate.
Right. And I understand that it'll eventually become renewable from what I've heard.
Yep, they're talking about the power to run everything down there. They're talking about running a pentagram, running the cartage trucks in and out of the mine. So that will be on green energy. So it'll be a green copper mine, so to speak. And as we know, the end result, copper is needed for the production of electric motors for electric cars, electric vehicles and so forth. Mm. So, look, it's a great result. And, you know, copper is a resource that we just need to find more and more of it alongside the other resources needed for the new technologies for the electric vehicles. So, good to see Hillgrove looking at these new technologies so that they can have essentially a green mine, and I applaud them for it.
Mm, and quite a few jobs, and it's starting next year, is that right?
Yeah, looking at starting next year. This is like a trial phase at the moment, seeing how the miner goes, and they're looking at, I mean, the machine now. they're looking at 170 jobs when it gets going, but as they're doing it, they're looking at other items that they can add to the machine to make it more productive. So that's exciting, and I'll be monitoring it. I've worked with this mine for over a decade now and very keen to see how it rolls, but it's great to see those jobs coming into the community, because a lot of mining jobs in South Australia are FIFO, fly in, fly out. Mm. These are local jobs, just like they have been at Strathalbyn in the Platt Pass, at the Terramin mine and at the Hillgrove mine with its open cut mode. And they've been, you know, quiet for a couple of years, so it's good to see 40 jobs there at the moment as they start ramping up. They're working day shift, not long from going day and night shift as they work into the mine. And they do quite a clean cut with this miner, forms the floor really nice, and also takes out the risk of blasting as well.
Okay.
So, very excited to see this proposal, and be keen one day to go down the inclines and the stopes that they dig there.
Speaking of Keane, we've spoken to Murray Bridge councillor Ailey Keane, who's running as an independent against you in the state election next year. What do you make of Ms Keane's campaign?
Oh, look, there's several people already put their hands up to run against me. There's one Nation candidate as well, and I note there's an independent candidate. I mean, look, along the way, people make claims, and I know there's been claims that Hammond is overlooked. Well, that's so far from the truth, it's almost ridiculous. And we've seen over the last 4 years since being in government around $200 million, and this $2 million into Hillgrove is another example of that, around very close to $200 million being invested in this electorate, whether it's in phone TAS, whether it's in $36 million going into the upgrade of the old bridge. We've got at least $35 million in education spending being spent here, whether that's in Strathalbyn, Langon Creek or Murray Bridge, with the North School getting $5 million very soon. We've got $20 million at the high school, and we got around $3 million each, both into Strathalbyn and Langon Creek campuses of Eastern Flurio School, and certainly that $7 million that went into the Murray Bridge Emergency Department. Fantastic to have a new emergency department there. And on top of that, we've put $3 million more in to upgrade the X-ray facilities there. And certainly very proud of all the roadworks, and you can't go far in this state without seeing the roadworks. We've got two major roads put in on the edge of my electorate, Narkat Highway and Browns Well Highway between them, to bring them back to the 110 kilometre speed limit. We've spent $42 million down there. So there is a lot of funding being spent. We've put $2.5 million into Best and Foods, $2 million into Perilla Potatoes, hundreds of thousands of dollars each into both Bremerton Wines and Lake Breeze. And there's been grants pouring into businesses, and very proud of the $14 million of community funding that we've put into the community infrastructure for the roadworks, the gas connection, the water connection, the power connection for Thomas Foods, who have now built one of their structures. The packing room is now 10 stories high, so that's 30 metres or 100 feet in the old language. So, you know, I'm very excited about what's going on here, and we've also invested heavily into the racing industry with $7.5 million going into the racing club recently, also supporting the greyhounds. So I'm very proud of my record in the short, not quite 4 years in government, in delivering for Hammond, and very pleased to do so.
Transport is an issue that some people find concerning, you know, with if you don't have a car, it's a little bit tricky to get around or get down to Adelaide from the rural city. Is that something you're still investigating, bus services in the region?
Oh, look, absolutely. And I've advocated to try and get Metro ticket up here. But look, what people need to understand, when you're one of the major parties, you do have to fund whatever you put up. And when the last contract came up a couple of years ago, I advocated for a company that was pushing forward to the contract, and they would have probably halved the cost of getting to Adelaide from the current price, which is somewhere around $22 or $3, I think, one way. And sadly, they didn't get up. And because it's all adjudicated by an independent panel when these contracts are let, which is the absolute right thing to do. And I'd like to see that progress up the freeway. I mean, I note there's some discussion around, you know, public transport into Mount Barker, but I think they're pretty lucky having... They've had Metro ticketed services there for, I think, decades. And, you know, and that I think that's something like $5.60 a day. But, look, always keen to get better pricing with public transport, but at the end of the day, we have to make everything work. We have to fund the vital health services. We've got $7.4 billion going into health at the minute, which is an increase on the former government by $1.5 billion a year, putting thousands of people into health positions, or obviously funding education as well. And just those two portfolios take 50% of the state budget, and then you have to run all the other portfolios like emergency services, police, Department of Transport, etc., below that. So, yep, absolutely, certainly keen to get improved public transport through to Adelaide. But as a member of a major party, we actually have to fund it.
Adrian Pederick is with us, member for Hammond. We've had a chat with a former SA ambulance worker, Ken Jenkins from Manham. He's been petitioning for better ambulance services, and he's also calling for a paid ambulance station. Have you received his correspondence calling for that investment with the petition?
Yeah, we've received his correspondence, and we received this via Rebecca Sharkey's office. I didn't receive anything direct from him, but we have acted on that, and we've sent the information through to the Health Minister to see what we can do to address those issues in the petition. But look, ambulance services, we're working that on that all the time. I note it's only been a few years since we had the brand new station built here in Murray Bridge. A site's been bought in Strathalbyn for a new station down there with an extra bay. What everyone needs to understand is that if an ambulance is out from a service, they are always backed up from another station. Like Murray Bridge might back up Mount Barker, for instance, or it might back up Manham, or it could be the other way around. I mean, I've seen at Mallee Football where we had a lad go down a couple of seasons ago, and two ambulances turned up from Caroonda. So I think, it like everything, it depends on the services and needs, but absolutely keen to make sure we look after the health needs of the region. And I was only having a Teams meeting with the Health Minister on Friday going through what we need to do moving forward as far as addressing all those healthcare needs across the region, including opening up the emergency departments that have temporarily closed because of COVID, and a lot of these emergency departments have closed locally because they're co-linked with aged care.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult situation, and I stress the hospitals are still open. You can get triage at Caroondah. The nurses, the nurse practitioners do great work. The doctors do great work as well. And look, I was talking to a doctor at Strathalbyn the other day, because there has been some talk about having a 24-hour medical facility at Strathalbyn, and he said, well, that's actually not feasible. We said, because 15 minutes up the road is a 24-hour emergency department at Mount Barker.
Oh, right.
So it's not just about built infrastructure. Mm. It's also about the human resources, and I've seen that across the board, whether it's with nursing staff who may be unavailable for a moment. Plus, a lot of nurses have gone to and helped with the COVID-19 pandemic, which is great work, but it's stretched nurses a little bit. But I must say, we've got 1,200 nurses hitting the streets virtually as we speak to complement our program moving forward. We've employed thousands of extra staff across the board, whether they be doctors, nurses, aged care workers, paramedics, to get the health services going and keep them improving into the future. But it's 30% of the state budget, and we'll keep investing, and we've put 140 more emergency beds across the metropolitan area. And I know some people talk about health services in Adelaide as if they don't look after country people, but at any one time, 30% of the beds in Adelaide have got country people in them. And another comment I heard on the weekend was, we're being a bit left behind in the regions as far as how we're dealing with COVID. Well, There's a reason for that. The COVID hospitalisations will be based in Adelaide. That's just a fact, because that's where the intensive care machines are and all of those rooms are and the ventilators, etc., to make sure that we get that. And we have got fast access to the city, and if it's not by ambulance, we're very well served by the rescue helicopters and the flying doctor, and to make sure that people get the health care they need.
Thanks for joining me in the studio, Adrian Pederick.
Not at all. Happy to be here. Good morning, listeners.